Hey guys, this is David. I just want to first of all thank you so much for supporting our Patreon. I also want to say this episode actually we made a few months ago when we first were thinking about doing a Patreon. So just a heads up, from an audio quality and editing perspective, it's not quite up to our current standards. So please bear with us, but it's still a great time. I just wanted to give you all a heads up. Thanks again, and enjoy.
If you're listening to this, it means that you are a wonderful patron. First of all, thank you so much for supporting our show. This will be the first episode of a sub-series where we're going to review the first chapter of a new series. Think of it as like a cousin to the chibi episodes.
Trojan X!
Yeah, that's what we're reading today.
Oh yeah, David, do you know what Chojin means?
No, but is it normal to get a quarter Chojin while reading this?
No, I have no clue what that joke is.
Because Chojin sounds like chub, because it's penis.
I guess it does.
This series was kind of horny in a weird way.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's really incredible how well you can show off your tits and ass if you don't have a spine.
It's pretty amazing how big you can make a character's boobs when you don't give a fuck about her.
Yeah, and apparently teachers are okay just having a colossal amount of cleavage.
Well, teachers are hot, you know? That's like the thing. Especially in anime, you know? Every anime class has like a hot, sexy, older female teacher.
Sure.
Fun fact, Chojin is Japanese for Superman. So this series is called Superman X.
Interesting. I would not have expected that.
It's strange. It kind of more means like superhuman or stuff like that, but Superman is a literal translation of that. It's also, if you've ever seen Kinnikuman or Ultimate Muscle, in Japan they call those wrestlers in that show Chojins. And then the evil wrestlers are called Akuma Chojin, which means evil Superman.
But it's not like the literal word for superhero, right?
I'm actually not sure now that you mention it. I wonder if they call them that in My Hero Academia.
Oh, if only Tucker was in and we could tag him in for this. Maybe at some point we'll cover the series properly and he'll do a Gaiden.
Yeah, maybe this series will get canceled.
Yeah. I love how, like, when I wrote my outline, you thought this was a one-shot. So you're like, yeah, we don't really have to care where it's going after this. And I was like, oh, not so fast, buddy. This is just a pure bread and butter actual first chapter of a new series.
Well, that's good, because this would have had a really shitty ending if it was just a one-shot.
You always want to leave them wanting more and that we don't really tell you anything. So good luck, buddy. But I think that's a good segue into the actual details of what we're reading. So at the time of this recording, which is May 21st, so hopefully this doesn't horrifically date depending on when we actually launch our Patreon, there was only one chapter. And this series is kind of unusual in that it has like a sporadic release. I think even with the passing of the creator of Berserk, his name just escapes me right now.
Miura, I believe. He's a legend, just like quite possibly the best manga author like ever, honestly. Just fucking incredible. It is a real loss.
And he was only 54, which is crazy.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, so I think there's really been a big shift in not having manga creators just be absolutely insane like this. So this series actually is going to follow a release schedule of coming out whenever the creator feels like it, because this was created by Sui Ishida, the creator of Tokyo Ghoul, who had horrific burnout, and you actually can really tell in the sequel to Tokyo Ghoul, Tokyo Ghoul Re, where he really just kind of was done creating the series, and he just kind of ended it as fast as he could, just so he could just stop working on it.
Oh, it's a Kubo thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Also, though, while I said there was one chapter that came out, this series started on May 10th, 2021. Mm. But yeah, Jordan, did you read Tokyo Ghoul?
I've read a very small amount of it. I keep meaning to, though. It seems good.
I enjoyed the first half, and then I just kind of lost interest. Like, I could really tell you just his heart wasn't in it in the same way. And I've also heard that when I was listening to Anime Out of Context, the anime is kind of nuts where it goes anime original for a season and then it tries to retcon everything to get back to adapting the manga itself.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard it's kind of a train wreck. It's like the second season of The Promised Neverland.
So it really does do a Bleach thing with a Bounce Saga and shit.
No, it's more like, imagine if the original Fullmetal Alchemist was 40 episodes in and then try to realign with the Brotherhood timeline.
I can see how that causes a huge mess.
Yeah, it's not a filler arc. They just legit tried to do their own thing, and then they're like, oh, just kidding, this is terrible. Let's just readapt the series. So maybe we'll get a Tokyo Ghoul Brotherhood at some point. We always said that about Soul Eater, and it never happened.
There's a new Shaman King series! I have to fucking watch that! I keep forgetting!
Me too, buddy. We do that for anime night.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about Shaman King. We're here to talk about Chojin X. So Jordan, why don't you give the dear listener your summary of the first chapter?
Plane is brought down in Japan. The culprit is a Chojin, a mysterious being with superpowers. As it's falling, the plane is spotted by Tokio Kurahara, a teenage boy in math class who gets immediately chewed out by his crazy teacher named Miss Bazonkas, who is mean because she has big tits.
Yep.
Later, Tokio hangs out alone when he notices that a girl is about to get sexually assaulted by some thugs, led by a British skinhead named Johnny. Tokio responds by calling his friend Azuma Higashi, the town hero who breaks the punk's arms with a roundhouse kick. Later that night, Tokio reflects that Azuma is like a lion who's really cool, while he's like a vulture who isn't as cool. As a mysterious person then approaches Johnny with an unknown syringe. The next day, Azuma and Tokio approach the downed plane to investigate, but Azuma is immediately attacked by Johnny, who demonstrates that he can now stretch his limbs like Mr. Fantastic. Johnny kills his two subordinates, because you're supposed to hate him, and drops two superpower syringes where Tokio and Azuma can get them like a fucking idiot. The boys then decide to inject themselves with random needles dropped by a gross stranger. Johnny appears to attack them then, but is fought off by Tokio, who has transformed into a vulture demon called the Bestial Chojin. He rushes to the aid of Azuma, who is instead fallen, unmoving, to the ground. End of chapter one.
And what a chapter indeed.
Yeah, how about that shit, huh?
Yeah. So Jordan, what would you say really what your first impressions of that chapter were?
I mean, I wasn't blown away. I really wasn't. I mean, the generic 80s punk bad guy, I do not like him. He reminds me of Tokyo Shinobi Squad's first chapter, that weird Hungarian punk dude with the generic mohawk. And you know what? If you're reminding me of Tokyo Shinobi Squad, you fucked up.
Yeah. This writing was not super great. It actually had an interesting start where the characters on the plane had like some really interesting depth. They told this little story and then, so it was effective, even though it was kind of abrupt how they just all got, I guess, kind of killed off. It wasn't really clear if they died or not because they said there was a lot of survivors of the flight.
I don't think they died off. Like, so I didn't include it in the plot summary because it means fucking nothing for the plot of this chapter. But the first thing we see in this manga is actually a little girl on a plane talking to an old lady about how she's traveling somewhere to attend a fair because she works on a farm and her grandpa, who usually goes, can't go with her. So she has tomatoes, which are spelled different than you think they are.
And they look like hearts.
Then, like, a weird dude shows up and just uses fire powers to assumedly kill everyone on the plane, although apparently 200 of them survived, so whatever.
Yeah, because apparently a plane catching on fire, you know, there's still going to be survivors, which I thought was kind of weird, and I'm not quite sure why they just didn't kill everyone.
I'm assuming, if this is like a good series, that whatever happened on the plane made the situation weird, and then like that's part of the mystery.
That is true. So we'll see. And then also that cover page was beautiful. Like, the art in Tokyo Ghoul is really good. This is great. And it's very interesting how experimental the art is. Like, it shifts a lot. There's almost like a paper mache style at certain parts, and people just have like these weird bendiness. Like, no one has a spine in this series. Yeah. And that's not even counting the Mr. Fantastic guy.
David, you want me to blow your mind?
Sure.
I didn't like this art.
Damn.
The cross-hatching. There was some really nice cross-hatching. I will 100% give you that. There were moments where I really liked. It just felt very off to me. I didn't like how weirdly moldable everybody was. It just felt extremely out of place in the type of comic book this is.
Yeah.
It also just didn't help that, like, some things in this series are just bizarrely cartoonish, because it doesn't come off as a series that is, like, wacky. But then you have the fucking teacher who just has huge tits and a big ass and a goofy face, and her name is Miss Bazonkas, and then you have the bad guy of this chapter be, like, a fucking British skinhead from like the 80s.
It just didn't know what tone it wanted to be from either an art or a writing perspective, because you're right. It gets like kind of light and then gets dark with the plane, and then it gets light again with everyone, and then it gets dark again. You have like these weird Mr. Fantastic, and they punch him out, and it does like this silhouette over the moon that just looks really campy, because you're seeing like this spaghetti dude silhouette.
It was honestly really hard to follow those parts.
Yeah.
I could see what the artist was doing. I could tell that they were trying to be like experimental, but it didn't work.
You know who this guy was trying to imitate?
Who?
Okubo.
What did Okubo do again?
Fire Force, Soul Eater, Beachy.
Yeah.
If you told me that this dude made Beachy, I would believe it.
Yeah, no, I definitely see that. Funnily enough, I actually got huge Zip Man vibes from this.
Really?
Yeah, just like the relationship between the two main characters, in terms of how like our main character idolizes the other character who everybody's like talks about how much cooler he is and stuff like that. And the main character feels very inadequate despite himself seeming to actually be like totally good at a lot of stuff that he does.
Besides being bad at math, he doesn't really seem to be flawless because he's heroic, he's brave, he knows how to fight. The only difference between him and his friend seems to be self-esteem, which I don't trust the series to be written well enough that that's like an actual element to it, like an imposter syndrome, like Time Paradox Ghost Rider, where that was an actual plot element to it.
It's also the weird world it's in. It's weird in a similar way that Zip Man is weird, where it's just like, instead of explaining this world, just like, look, it's a weird world, just accept that they're British rapist skinheads, and a kid can jump from, like, the top of a roof to the ground, and it's no big deal, don't fucking worry about it.
Have you ever read Aijin?
No.
Aijin is like, what if we made like really edgy JoJo, where it's about these people that are born with like psychic abilities and they can manifest these spirits, and part of it is that they're immortal, like truly immortal, like you can decapitate them and they just regenerate their body. And so this series reminded me a lot. I would definitely say Jordan go read a few chapters of that, and you'll probably be like, see why I mean, just in terms of especially the art style of it in the presentation.
Oh, you should definitely send me that, because I don't know how to spell that, of course. That sounds cool.
It's almost like I put it in the show notes.
Ooh, well, I'll definitely check the show notes then.
Yeah, it ended like 5 or 6 months ago, so you can read the whole thing. It has a really shitty Netflix adaptation, so just read it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, well, I won't watch the Netflix adaptation, but yeah. Something I wanted to say about Johnny, the generic guy that has nothing more to his character other than he's a joke who is an asshole.
No, that's not true. They explicitly tell you he's good to his mother, because they want you to sympathize with this character, but they don't have the time to make him seem three-dimensional.
Okay, I will admit, it was a little funny when they flip to him and he's trying to order an air mattress for his mom on Amazon, but he's got casts on his arms so he can't type.
Yeah, he's like, I can't type with two broken arms. But you know what they say about your mom and breaking both your arms? There's a very famous Reddit story about that.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, just look up Two Broken Arms Reddit and I'm sure it will come up.
So while he's searching on Amazon, they're approached by this mysterious person with syringes, and all they show us is that this person wears lipstick and has like a 5 o'clock shadow. So I'm expecting a little transphobia pretty soon, is what I'm saying.
That would not surprise me.
Yeah.
This author seems to like to incorporate trans, like he has a character that just dresses like a woman but uses he him pronouns in Tokyo Ghoul.
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's like, I don't know how it's handled in Tokyo Ghoul. And maybe this will be handled better. I'm not getting that from just the one panel that we got. So, hey.
It wasn't problematic in Tokyo Ghoul. It's more just, he's no stranger having trans themes in his writing, so I wouldn't be surprised if you're right.
Hey, just having those themes in there, that's totally cool. As long as they're not transphobic themes, I think it's fine.
And then are you ready to go into what you think will happen next?
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's kind of hard to guess, just because, to be honest, the series leaves a lot of clues but doesn't really give you any scaffolding in terms of how the world operates. Like, is the fact that his friend is like the hero of the town in some sort of official capacity? We don't really know specifically what these Chojin are, or even like what's happened to the characters. So my guess is that Tokiko and Zuma, who I'm going to guess he is still alive, are going to try and hunt down the people that made the syringe using their powers. And it's going to end up that he's part of a member of probably some sort of mafia-like organization. Maybe there's like a league of assassins that are like the upper echelon, and they have to like fight them and fend off now that they've gotten this like chemical X, or, oh God, imagine if they actually chemical do call X. It chemical X, and that's what the X in Chojin stands for.
That's
one of my guesses. It's going to be called chemical X was in the syringe. And ultimately, I feel like the main character is going to deal with the fact that he's like slowly turning into a monster, because either he can turn back or he's forced to be like this, but he slowly is losing control over his powers and needs to try and find a cure. And he'll really have to think about, does he want to embrace his powers or return to being a normal person after, you know, living the life of being a superhero?
I see that. I'm excited though, because I feel like we had very different interpretations of where the series is going. I think that Azuma is either dead or just out of commission, and the series is going to focus on Tokio learning to use his new powers and learning to overcome the feelings of inadequacy that he has developed. Maybe Azuma will be like there in spirit or something, but it seemed at the end when Azuma collapsed, it was like, are they just gonna like totally undo this?
I definitely am like 50-50 of his friend still being alive or not, but I thought it would be more interesting for his friend to be alive, maybe even like not as effective as fighting, but it's just feels like kind of dumb to just drop it like this.
Right, like a Zip Man thing, though, is what I'm saying. Like,
that's fair.
he'll become the suit or whatever.
Yeah, just wear me. They kept talking about his friend is like a lion, so I feel like he's gonna get like a lion transformation or something like that.
Oh, David, I just had a great idea.
What?
So in the comic, they mention a lot of the time that vultures are bald, and Tokio's like, I'm not bald. What if he transforms into a bald demon? Because I don't know if we got a good look at the top of his head. I don't know if it showed him whether he was bald or not. And then Azuma turns into a lion's mane that he puts on his head like a toupee.
So, Jordan, overall, would you keep reading this series?
I would check it out. I would just read it to see where it's going. It didn't grab me. I'm not, like, psyched to keep reading it, but I don't know. It's at the point where, like, it could be good. It could turn around and wind up being better, but, like, as it is right now, I'm not expecting it to be great.
Yeah, I think I will give this series another two or three chapters. It could be interesting. I enjoy Tokyo Ghoul, but nothing really has caught me like Tokyo Ghoul did. And I'm also worried that this is going to be like a George Lucas situation where since he has 100% freedom, he's not going to have anyone to really reel back his bad ideas. Like, we saw some clunkiness that I think a stronger editor would have prevented. And he's just like, listen, guys, you know, I already have all my Tokyo Ghoul money. I'm just doing this because I want to make what I want to make. So fuck off. And, you know, I'll do like one chapter every 6 months or something stupid like that. Just because no one's really going to say that's a dumb idea. We're going to see a lot of unpolished ideas come up in this series.
There's just like a lack of gravity, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. I don't know what the stakes are. Mm-hmm. The characters feel like they exist in their own little dimension, kind of separate from the world around them, partly because they're just... Now I'm the one complaining about a lack of backgrounds, mm-hmm. but it didn't really wow me. I think it absolutely is a situation where he has to be reined in. Yeah. That is actually my issue with the art. This man is extremely talented, but he's going so crazy that he's losing like any of the quality that his art could give.
I agree. He has a million ideas, but no one is telling him no. And we're definitely, it's going to be very apparent in this series unless he really gets an editor that's actually going to crack the whip.
Because we're almost done here, I just really need to ram home how funny it is to me that, like, the two characters at the end just find syringes dropped by...
Yeah, that was just, it was just there. Like, it's like a fucking tutorial where you get the next, like, the main mechanic item.
It's like they don't get superpowers, they just get hepatitis.
What if it was, like, heroin and this is all just, like, in a, they were just imagining it? And you just see them tripping out on the ground next to a dude.
I mean, fuck.
And the dude's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, fuck it. Why not? Ugh.
Yeah, this is a two-chapter series, and he's like, psych, bitches, and he just fucks.
He overdoses.
He just trolls the fuck out of Shonen Jump. Oh, I could totally, totally see Fujimoto have done that.
Fujimoto would do that, but it would somehow be really good.
It would definitely be the best chapter of your entire life.
It would be somehow better than Chainsaw Man if he did it.
Yeah.
We have to mention Chainsaw Man in every episode. Oh, yeah.
I just love that picture where it's Fujimoto saying, listen, editors, it is absolutely crucial to the plot of Chainsaw Man that Makuma has a dump trunk ass.
Damn right it is.
Also, I feel like if we ever made a full series on this one, or a full episode on this one, we could just call it Chojin X-Men and make like a parody of like the first cover of X-Men.
You mean like the giant size X-Men? Or no? No, you mean
I'm
like...
I'm thinking OG with like...
With like Professor X being like, assemble my X-Men.
Yeah, and like fucking Beast just has a trapeze for no reason.
David, remember when Amazon fucked up and sold a bunch of Marvel omnibuses for $20?
I still have those.
I do too, somewhere. It's yeah, you told me about it and then I got the original X-Men omnibus. That shit's cool.
That's a candidate for when I peaked, when I got like $500 worth of books for like $60. And I remember Amazon canceled a bunch of my orders and then they sent me like a $50 Amazon gift card. But then I complained and they sent me the books anyway. So I got both.
Hell yeah.
Oh God, that was a great time. I don't remember there being a pricing fuck up like that in a long time.
That is one of the most hilarious and biggest pricing fuck ups or whatever that I've ever heard of. It was so good.
Yeah, nowadays they cancel the orders like a bunch of bitches. Anyway, I think we're getting a little off topic. Why don't we wrap things up, though, with power word. I kind of wish I had changed mine because you gave me some good ideas. But Jordan, what is your power word?
Squishy.
I like it. Mine was burb.
Yeah, I like that one, too.
All right. So thank you all, dear patrons. You are much appreciated. You are beautiful, handsome, and hilarious. I really like that new shirt. It looks great on you. Thank you so much for supporting our show. I don't think we really need to tell you where to find us because you're already donating to the show to keep it going, but we still appreciate it if you say what's up on the Discord, tell us what you think of the episode, send us an email at shonenflop@gmail.com or tweet us at shonenflopcast.
So long, you sexy, sexy patron.
Oh, God.